The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
There's tremendous passion and there's tremendous love. January 6th was a very interesting day because they don't report it properly. I believe it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before. And you know some of the crowds I've spoken before. And like July 4th on the mall, I think they had 1 million people there. But I think that the biggest crowd I've ever spoken before was on January 6th. And people that were in that crowd, a very, very small group of people, and we said, patriotically and peacefully, peacefully and patriotically, right? Nobody ever says that. Go peacefully and patriotically. But people that were in that crowd that day, very small group of people, went down there, and then there are a lot of scenarios that we can talk about. But people in that crowd said it was the most beautiful day they've ever experienced. There was love in that crowd. There was love and unity. I have never seen such spirit and such passion and such love. And I've also never seen simultaneously and from the same people such hatred of what they've done to our country.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict? We seem to be moving towards something.
I don't know, because I don't know what it, you know, I can say this. There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen. And that's probably a bad combination.
It certainly is a bad combination when passions are inflamed and there's so much hatred. That interview has been watched, I just checked it just now, it's been watched 203 million times. It's gotten 203 million views, and there you've got the most popular commentator in America and the most popular politician in America just talking openly about the prospect of civil war. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. That comes to you every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. It's on, of course, at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. You can also watch this show at our Rumble channel, I should say. Just search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can watch it every day live at Rumble. You can join in on the live chat, as I sometimes do. You can leave some comments after the fact. And of course, you always, always, always want to give us the Rumble thumbs up as well. That's at the Rumble channel. Don't forget also that we rebroadcast this program every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Live from America TV. That's LFA TV. And it was preempted last night because of that interview that you just saw there, Tucker Carlson with President Trump. But they did replay our program, I think it was 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and there's quite a few thousand views for our program. We're not quite to the 200 million range yet, but what that interview between Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump, it's the most watched interview in the history of the world. That's what we're talking about here. The history of the world. 203 million. It's probably up to 204 million now. And yet we've got people like Karl Rove, the architect, telling us that Donald Trump is vulnerable, even in the Republican primaries. Karl Rove says that Donald Trump is beatable in Iowa and New Hampshire. That's right. And then you look at Fox News, the website, the coverage after that. It's like the interview between Tucker and Trump didn't even happen. Yeah, go check the front page of Fox or the New York Post The Rupert Murdoch empire. Well, he's just pretending that it didn't happen. The most viewed interview in history. That's all that that was. And there they were talking about civil war. Now listen, you heard it here first. TheTrumpet.com, The Trumpet magazine. We wrote this back in 2017, January 2017. The title, America's Coming Civil War. That's the title that my father gave to his article. He says here, this is the kind of vile language we've heard over and over again, picking it up in the middle of the thought, that has stirred up terrible bitterness and anger among minorities against this country. It says this kind of incitement is divided. It's dividing the races all the more, and it's leading to race war. I mean, we were on this from the very beginning of the dear leader's reign, going back to 2008, 2009, when the commentators were stupidly out there saying, it's going to heal any divide that's left in the nation. And we said, no, it's going to blow up into a race war, eventually into a civil war. It says, why do so many of our people fail to see this simple truth? Many Americans are troubled by the divisions and the hatreds being expressed right now. It says further on, Donald Trump's win, this goes back to 2016 and 17, and my father said, Donald Trump's win is a prophetic sign of impending civil war and anarchy, followed by America's worst military defeat ever. I mean, it was, as I say, it was sobering. Just maybe Donald Trump's a little more optimistic. I think he would be if he's back in office. Any president, any ruler would think that, well, we can begin to turn this around. But you listen to Tucker Carlson and you have to wonder if he's not so sure that anything can turn this around. Are we headed toward civil war? This is another article from January 2020, 3 years ago. The other one was 6 years ago, I guess. It says, bitter division in America today is leading toward a time of strife that will be 10,000 times worse than anything the nation has experienced before. It says an invisible power is destroying this nation with great speed and fury. That's a quote from my father back in, again, 2017. It says here in Ezekiel 5, God reveals that 1/3 of the population of end time Israel will die from pestilence, famine, and violence. I mean, these are prophecies that, you know, they're not fun to jump into. But we do need to delve into what your Bible says about the last days, the end times. There's a lot of people, certainly a lot more today than there would have been 5-10 years ago, that have concluded that we're in the last days. Well, then if we are, what does the Bible say about the last days? What does it say in 2 Timothy 3? What does it say in Ezekiel 4 and 5? What does it say in Ezekiel 33? What does it say in Daniel 12 or Daniel 8, Daniel 11? These are end time prophecies, so many of them, talking about our time right now. You can get the Ezekiel Watchman booklet or the End Time Prophet. You can get that booklet. Just call our operators at the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. This needs to be part of our spiritual diet. We need nourishment from the scriptures, as the Apostle Paul said. We certainly do need to feed on Christian living passages of the Bible and know the history of the Bible, but also we need to be able to wrap our minds around the prophecies of God. 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy. 1/3 of it. And that's the third that most in the traditional Christian world just want to dismiss, set aside, or pretend like it didn't happen. Kind of like the commentators at Fox News did with respect to Donald Trump's interview. I mean, there was the little 5-minute bracket last night at the debate where Donald Trump came. Even Bret Baier himself said, we've got to address the elephant that's not in the room. And that was the only interesting part of the debate, that 5 minutes where Donald Trump came up. I'll play some clips in just a bit. But first, just picking up on that theme that you heard at the opening, the cold open today, listen again to Donald Trump in his exchange with Tucker last night, clip 15.
I'm looking at the trajectory since 2015 when you got into politics, yeah, you know, for real. and then won. It started with protests against you, massive protests, right. Organized protests by the left, and then it moved to impeachment twice.
Right.
And now indictment. I mean, the next stage is violence. Are you worried that they're going to try and kill you? Why wouldn't they try and kill you, honestly?
They're savage animals. They are people that are sick, really sick. You have great people in the Democrat Party. You have great people that are Democrats. Most of the people in our country are fantastic, and I'm representing everybody. I'm not just Republicans or conservatives. Right. I represent everybody. I'm the president of everybody. But I've seen what they do. I've seen the lengths that they go to.
He's seen the worst of it. And that's the most popular commentator in the country. Casually asking Donald Trump, are you worried that violence is next or that they might even come and kill you? It seems like that's the trajectory that we're on. These people, I mean, you listen to the way they think. And now today, Donald Trump, he's going to be arraigned. They're going to get his mugshot. People are lining the streets outside that Fulton County courthouse. People supporting Donald Trump. What is this building toward? 4 indictments? 70 some odd felony charges? 700 years in prison? Is this really happening? Are they really trying to put him away for good? Well, what if that doesn't happen? What's next? Now, that's a good question. No questions like that in the Republican debate last night. That's why it was so boring. That's why nobody watched it. You know, I'll get to this point from American Greatness. Well, maybe I could just read it here. This is American Greatness commenting on the debate last night, the Republican debate. I think it was in Wisconsin. It says here, those who tuned into Wednesday night's debate received a depressing look into the GOP's past and what lies in its future without Trump. Timid, boring, and ineffectual leaders. Leaders, quote unquote. It says here, the front runner's absence was keenly felt in the lack of energy, vigor, and vision on the stage. Ramaswamy was the only spark of life. The candidates smothered viewers with platitudes about new leadership, stopping Putin, liberal tax and spend policies, and how bad Biden is, something all Republicans already agree on. It says it could have been a debate from 2012. That's such an excellent point to make, because all of those people at that debate, everyone at Fox News, everyone in the conservative media, for the most part, they all say that it's Donald Trump who's living in the past. He keeps going back to the stolen election. We've got to move forward. We've got to be forward thinking. And the thing of it is, that debate, just like American Greatness says, it's like a snapshot of 2012. These people are the ones living in the past. Pretending as if an interview with now 204 million viewers just didn't happen, just doesn't exist. Donald Trump's, he's vulnerable. He's a loser. He can't beat Joe Biden. It says here, on that question, the only candidate to defend Trump was Ramaswamy. DeSantis and Tim Scott dodged with abstractions about the weaponization of justice, all without mentioning public enemy number one. DeSantis refused to say whether Mike Pence was correct to certify Biden's bogus victory. Instead, DeSantis and Biden loves that Republicans are still talking about January 6th, and it's time to move on. The political prisoners languishing in D.C. gulag would like a word. Just forget about the stolen election. Forget about January 6th. Forget about the political prisoners. Hey, forget about the interview with Tucker and Trump. And also, forget about the indictment today. 4 indictments? And the best Chris Christie can do is say, look, you may agree or disagree with the indictments, but the fact remains, the conduct of Donald Trump is reprehensible. Listen to what Donald Trump said about, this is the one about Chris Christie. Where is it? Well, go ahead and play the one. Go ahead and play the one about Bill Barr. This is number 8.
Bill Barr didn't do an investigation on the election fraud either, okay? He said he did, and he pretended he did, but he didn't. McSwain, the U.S. attorney in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, said Barr just wouldn't let him do it. It was crazy. Barr became so petrified, so frightened of being impeached. They were going to impeach him. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
It's not a big moment in history. But they said, we're going to impeach. You know, they play a much rougher game, the left, the lunatics. And they were going to impeach Bill Barr, and he was petrified. Now, how do you not get impeached? Don't do any of this stuff. But he didn't do the job there.
It's important history. That is that living in the past? Or is that just lifting the lid off of all the corruption, off of the uniparty? I mean, we've talked a lot about how the rigged election really has exposed those on the right who are rhinos, Republicans in name only. And you can just add to that this list of indictments. There, when you listen to Chris Christie last night, you hear a man, even if he doesn't state it outright, that pretty much is happy that Donald Trump has been indicted four times. Listen to this one. This is clip 7.
A guy like Chris Christie, the guy left with a 8%, think of it, 8% approval rating in New Jersey. Now he's running for president. And he runs solely on the basis, oh, let's get Trump. He's like a savage maniac. He's like a lunatic. And that's all he talks about. His poll numbers are very, very low. He's at about 2%.
What's he like? You know him well.
No, I've been friendly with him over the years, but I couldn't give him a job because I just never trusted him very much.
And Christie resents that. So he comes along and he repackages the exact same campaign from 2016. Who's living in the past? Who won't move forward? Listen, we've got a former president of the United States being indicted because he thought the election was rigged in 2020. Still does. Makes no bones about it. Listen to what he said about the rigged election. Number 9.
We got many more votes in 20 than we did in 16. But the election was rigged. It was a rigged election. And with COVID, they use COVID to cheat in a lot of different things. And we have so much on it. It's like so easy. But we had judges that didn't want to look. We had people didn't want to get involved. They call you, he's a conspiracy theorist if you say anything about the election. But I have never seen spirit like there is right now. Even coming down here, just the people on the road that are just absolutely going crazy. And the reason is, I think they like me, and I know they love my policies. I hope they like me, too. You know, a lot of people say they don't like me, but they like my policies. I think they like me. But I have never seen spirit like it is right now. And the reason is because crooked Joe Biden is so bad. He's the worst president in the history of our country.
He's never seen such strong support for his return to office. And the numbers bear this out. It's 205.5 million. It's going up a million, like every 8-9 minutes. And then what you have, in stark contrast to that interview from last night, you essentially have 8 Jeb Bushes in Wisconsin. You have a 2012 debate. You have Chris Christie blowing the dust off his insult campaign from 2016. Listen to what he said about Mike Pence and the job he should have done to send it back to the states in January of 2021 so that the voter irregularities could be, at the very least, investigated. Clip 13.
Whatever happened to Mike Pence? You've always been nice to Pence. I've never heard you criticize Pence. You've defended him in public many, many times. He's out there attacking you. What is that?
So Mike wants to run for president. You got to understand, in my opinion, Mike Pence had the absolute right to send the votes back to the legislatures. The Democrats and everybody said, you don't have the right. In other words, what I said, is he a human conveyor belt? You mean if he finds fraud in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in any of these states, Arizona, he has to send them to Mitch McConnell, right? That's right, sir. Well, if he finds fraud, he has to? Yes, sir. I said, so he's a conveyor belt. Boom, put him in. I said, I don't agree with that. And we had some lawyers, not all, we had some lawyers that said, no, you do have the right to send them back to the legislatures to be rechecked. Because if you looked at what went on in Wisconsin, who, by the way, now agree with me, Wisconsin has been virtually, other than the fact they're not allowed to do anything statutorily, but Wisconsin has been, I mean, what they found is incredible. I mean, we won Wisconsin. But Mike Pence had the right, in my opinion, to send him back.
Do you ever talk to him now?
No, I haven't spoken to him in a long time. I was very disappointed in him.
he got indicted for that thinking right there. And so did Rudy Giuliani. So did John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, 13, 14 others, because they tried to contest the election of 2020, which every Democrat and their dog do every time the Democrats lose. All the time. All the time. None of them have ever been indicted for it. But today, you know, he's arraigned. Today, he gets the mugshot. Today, he has to waltz through court and have some judge look down his nose at Donald Trump. Some judge that I think only stepped into his office a few months ago. Listen to what Tucker asked regarding Joe Biden, the fake president, and who's really running the country. I mean, think about this. This dialogue, this discussion, it's going on in front of hundreds of millions of people. I mean, the Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today, for sure. This is clip 10.
So do you think the rest of the world looks on at Biden and thinks someone else has got to be running the government?
Well, somebody else has to be. I don't think he's capable of doing anything. Look, when I debated him, I said, how come, and this was in front of probably not a friend of yours, Chris Wallace, he was the moderator.
Not a friend.
I said, why is it he wants to be Mike, but he doesn't have the talent? It's one of the
fussy little man.
He wanted to be his father, but he didn't have the talent of his father was great.
He's a little fussy man.
His father interviewed me in 60 Minutes. It was actually a 10. Can you believe it?
No, I told you. His father had talent, at least.
I may have been the only guy that he gave a good 60 Minutes to. So he was rough.
Really?
His father was tough. He was great, though. He was great at what he did. But Chris Wallace was so upset. He was guarding this guy, who wouldn't do a show, by the way. You know, he wouldn't do. I figured I didn't mind Chris Wallace because Biden wouldn't do a show. And it was very obvious. You know, he kept asking him and asking him, but he wouldn't do the show. So I figured he's got to like me. But he came from a different planet. But remember when I asked the question, why is it that the mayor of Moscow's wife is allowed to give you $3.5 million? Don't forget, that was brought up now. It's brought up all the time. But that was brought up by me long before anyone ever heard of it. I said, the mayor of Moscow's wife giving you $3.5 million. What did you do to deserve $3.5 million? To Biden. And Chris Wallace said, this has nothing to do with the debate. I mean,
he got in the way of the question.
No, it was crazy. And I said, well, wait a minute. He got $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife. Now, people forget that, but if you go back and take a look, you will see. And Chris Wallace didn't want me to ask that question. I said, I think it's a very appropriate question. It turned out to be much more appropriate than people thought.
He's completely right. We played that exchange not that long ago on this program where Wallace tried to cover for Joe Biden. He tried to change the subject. He told Donald Trump, hey, let's not get into that. Now, come on, sir, let Joe Biden answer. And then Joe Biden lied. He said that they never got the money. Now, is exposing this kind of fraud, this kind of Manchurian candidate, as you'll see in the next clip, is that living in the past? Or is that confronting evil? Because Wallace, it's so telling. Trump says, hey, what about the $3.5 million? Wallace says, come on now, let's move on. Let him talk, and then we'll go on to the next subject. It's the same as last night. Christie is trashing Donald Trump during that five-minute period, and the audience boos Chris Christie. Then Brett Baer has to wheel around and lecture the audience about not booing so that we can make progress, good progress on this debate that nobody's watching at home. It's telling. There they are trying to protect and guard their favored candidate. They certainly favor Christie more than they do Trump. Trump is being trashed at a debate that he's not even at, and Fox News is trying to correct the audience. Pretty amazing. Listen to this one from last night, the 205 million watched interview, clip 11.
See, I think he's the most corrupt president we've ever had, and he also has the distinction of being the most incompetent. And I believe both. I mean, he's both incompetent and corrupt.
So
I actually believe he's compromised because China knows so much about him. They know where the money comes from. They know where it is, who paid it, and they probably paid it. Well, they do pay Penn, and he gets $1 million. I think he takes $999,000 because, you know, keeps it a little bit under a million, like by a dollar. But he, in many ways, is a Manchurian candidate. We have a Manchurian candidate, and he's afraid to tell Russia to get out of Cuba. He's afraid to tell China to get out of Cuba. He's afraid. China now is building, think of this, China's building military installations in Cuba.
He's the Manchurian candidate. Did that come up last night at the debate? They all talk about how bad Biden's policies are. We need new leadership so that we can change the policies. Here's Trump with Tucker saying, look, this guy's a traitor. He's compromised. He's receiving payment. How much did they get into that, all of the bribes that the Biden crime family has received from abroad? You know, $5 million, $10 million, in fact, so that he could fire Viktor Shokin, the prosecutor looking into Burisma. So you're living in the past, I guess. According to Rupert Murdoch's empire, you're living in the past if you expose traitors that have taken over, they're in control of America's government. They're in control. It's a coup that's out in the open now. It's a coup not intending to undermine and take over. They've got control. Now they're trying to keep the populist movement suppressed and put Donald Trump in prison. He's going to be arraigned today. He's going to have his mugshot taken today. And yet look at what's not discussed at a boring debate that, as I say, hardly anyone watches. You may have heard about this plane that Putin's people shot down. It's in Richard Palmer's morning brief. Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin is apparently dead. It's Russia, a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma, as Churchill quipped. So there's some doubt, but his plane crashed 2 months to the day after he tried to overthrow Putin in a coup. Putin has a long pattern of diabolical evil on the level of Joseph Stalin, writes Trumpet editor Gerald Fleury. His track record is his nationality and his ideology show that he's fulfilling a linchpin Bible prophecy. You just see all that's happening in the world today. I mean, a world going up in flames. And look at what's happening here at home. Internally, the BRICS economic bloc finished its summit today. This is from Richard's Trumpet brief. With some important news, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa will be inviting 6 more countries to join their group. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Ethiopia, and Argentina, says further on. America's economic war on Russia is clearly failing. I mean, these nations abroad, they're just gaining strength and power. And they're mobilizing their forces together in opposition to the United States. This is their opportunity. Joe Biden was Russia's opportunity to expand its influence and power across the Ukraine region. Donald Trump, at least, he certainly has an American first policy. But look at how many adversaries abroad he at least kept at bay for a few years. One final clip. This is from Tucker last night, and I thought this was especially interesting too, because who even comments on the United States and Britain losing all of these Seagates? I mean, that's discussed. It was discussed 70, 80 years ago in the first version of Herbert Armstrong's booklet, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Now it's a full-length book. It's gone right around the world. 6 million, not quite 200 million, should be. 6 million people have requested that book over the years. And in it, he talks about how that losing our Seagates, that too was prophesied. This is clip 12.
And you take a look at the Panama Canal. It was such an incredible engineering marvel. We sold it under Jimmy Carter. We sold it to Panama for $1. The following day, they quadrupled the amount of money that ships had to pay to get across. They didn't lose one ship. And now they've made it much bigger, and now they've widened it. They've doubled it, right? They've more than doubled it. And it's one of the most profitable things any time. It's just incredible, right? We gave it away for $1. China now controls it. They actually control the Panama Canal. They run it. They control it. And we shouldn't let that happen. And we can't let China be in Cuba. And they'll get out. If I'm president, they'll get out.
I commented to General Flynn when he was here for a couple of days. I asked him about his relationship with Donald Trump and how much contact he has with him. Mostly he just talks to him on the phone from time to time. But in talking to General Flynn, I just said, well, one thing about Donald Trump, you know, he's a businessman. He doesn't have all this political, you know, backstory. But if you ask him any question on any subject, it's astounding to me just how much he knows the issues, how well informed he is. I mean, he gets a few things wrong. And of course, the fact checkers at Washington Post are quick to jump right on that if he gets one tiny little fact wrong. But in general, I mean, he has a grasp of issues at home and abroad. He does. And the people, of course, it's up to 207 million now. It's hitting another million every 5-10 minutes. This interview that Fox News and the New York Post are pretending to ignore. When we come back, we'll get more into the way the conservative media treated last night. Again, it's very, very revealing, and at least for me, it's fascinating as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. And if you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can do it below our feed at the Rumble channel, or you can email us td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today, The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
Had to show that one to you. There's Donald Trump just absolutely destroying Fox News. And Tucker, for his part, he's putting in quite the contribution as well. I was telling Sam earlier today, how does he do it? How does he make all the right moves? There had to have been people chirping in his ear. Come on, you got to go to the debate. I want to see you square off with Christie. Just like you did with Jeb Bush or with Marco Rubio or whoever, you know, back in 2016. And, you know, he probably got advice on the other side as well. No, I'd stay away from it. Why bother? Anyway, decides not to go. He sits down with Tucker. They pre-record this interview and time it to start just before the Republican debate. And no doubt both of them sat down to watch the interview and maybe click over to the Republican debate while they're enjoying a nice little bag of popcorn or something. You're seeing the death, basically, the death of Fox News. Ideology matters so much more to Rupert Murdoch that he's willing to get rid of the most popular commentator in the nation. In the nation, some would say now in the world, 207, 208, 209 million views for a 45-minute interview. That's phenomenal. The most watched interview in the history of the world, in the history of mankind. I mean, you're starting to get up to Super Bowl numbers. And just two guys chatting for 45 minutes. This is from Karl Rove at the Wall Street Journal. This week features two major events in less than 24 hours. On Wednesday, the first GOP presidential debate was scheduled to occur with eight candidates, none of them Donald Trump, on stage. On Thursday, Mr. Trump indicted for a fourth time, surrenders to officials in Georgia. You know, he doesn't come right out and say it, that he's kind of excited that they're going after Trump to get him out of the way, to put him in prison. But he just kind of, he couches it in the terms, this is historic. I mean, we've never seen anything like this. So Trump's not at the debate. Here's Carl, he's the architect. He's the expert analyst on Fox News, on all things political, okay? It says here, yet nominations are decided not by national polls. He mentions how that Trump is way ahead in the polls, but he says nominations are decided not by national polls, but by state caucuses and primaries, with early states exercising disproportionate influence. The race so far has been more interesting in these first-to-vote states. Republican voters have seen a lot more of the non-Trump contenders than Mr. Trump. While nationally, Mr. Trump is still far better known than the other options, these early states are getting familiar with the rest of the field. The result? A majority of early state Republicans aren't for Trump. See where he's going? Trump's vulnerable. Trump's going to lose. This is wishful thinking from the architect. It says here, Mr. Trump's opponents remain weak, but the gap between his national standing and these early state numbers has to worry his camp. It's Trump who's worried, not Chris Christie. Chris Christie, he's in the perfect position, okay? He's in the same with DeSantis. He's perfectly aligned. He's perfectly situated to take the country by storm. I speak as a fool. It's hard to say if the disparity will keep growing, but it could, given Mr. Trump's jam-packed courtroom calendar and his reluctance to spend time visiting all of Iowa's 99 counties or endure endless New Hampshire town halls. I mean, look, Trump's going to have to be in court. I mean, that's the architect, basically echoing the sentiments of Nancy Pelosi and company. Yeah, tie him up in court so that he can't campaign. I mean, that's an indirect way of admitting that this is just all politics, these indictments. It's election interference, as Donald Trump keeps saying. I mentioned last night, well, look at this from the New York Post. Look at these headlines. This is Rupert Murdoch's The Right Stuff. How refreshing. GOP candidates hold serious debate on issues that matter. Little stab in the back of Donald Trump yet again. Whenever Trump's on stage, they never get into serious matters. It's all, I guess, about tweets, right? So here comes the New York Post. It's as if the interview between Tucker and Trump, the most watched interview in the history of mankind, it's as if it didn't even happen. That's the New York Post. Look at your headlines from Fox News. Over at Fox News, you've got all of these. Yes, well, they kind of stole ideas from the Dear Leader. First Republican debate, it says under that story. Nothing in there about Trump. You've got something on DeSantis. You've got something on the country singer. You've got something on stealing ideas or speech lines from the Dear Leader. But nothing about Donald Trump. What was it that Andy McCarthy tweeted out? DeSantis Christie would beat Biden Harris by 10 points, says Andy McCarthy, another big time analyst, legal analyst at Fox News. That's right. If we can just get DeSantis and Christie in there, then we might be able to beat Biden. What are we up to now? This is live breaking news right here on the Trumpet Daily. 208.7 million views. Tucker and Trump. I mean, that interview last night, you remember the January issue of the Trumpet magazine, Ready for War? You've got all of these entities on this side aligned against Trump, in opposition to Trump. And then Trump, like we said in that article, standing virtually alone. Virtually alone. And yet, who's winning in this war? Who's won? It's why they want to put him in prison. As I say, the indictments, they're really revealing the true colors of so many of these rhino Republicans. This is from American Greatness, that same article I quoted from earlier. It says, perhaps even more poetic was who Trump instead chose to spend the evening with, Tucker Carlson, the most famous talk show host in America, before he was sent to the slaughterhouse earlier this year by the powers that be at Fox in a sacrificial offering to the woke deities. It says here, both Trump and Carlson are unified in being corporate media pariahs. Maybe the only person more detested by the Murdochs than Donald Trump is Tucker Carlson. The fact that the two combined their influences against their shared enemy on Fox, or in Fox, which is now bloodletting viewership seemingly by the day now, is a powerful signal to the forces in this country that otherwise hope to shut down Donald Trump and the populist furor both he and Carlson represent for good. Further on, this is at American Greatness, it says, meanwhile, Trump's decision to ditch the debate and Fox News for Tucker Carlson on Twitter proved to be an act of political genius. As of this publication, Tucker Carlson's interview garnered more than 100 million views within hours of being posted. It was up to 70 or 80 million views, I believe, maybe 100 by the time the debate ended. Who won in the ratings? It says here, this already ranks the Trump interview as the most watched television interview in history, breaking the record set by Carlson and Andrew Tate from earlier this summer. As I said, with respect to the debate, the only interesting and some would say laugh out loud funny moment was when they brought up the subject of Donald Trump, the guy who wasn't at the debate. Listen to this as the moderators asked them about, you know, would you support Trump if he's convicted on any of these indictments? And you see one side of the room, they raised their hand pretty quickly. And then look at Ron DeSantis. Just watch this. Look at DeSantis. Look at Chris Christie. They're on the left side of the screen. And look at how they look first to see what the other candidates are doing before they can even raise their hand. It's unbelievable. These people, I mean, they're politicians through and through. They put their finger to the wind. They want to see which way the wind is blowing before they'll come out with a position on anything. Ramaswamy was basically the only exception. Shoots his hand up into the air pretty quickly. This is clip 3.
We are going to take a brief moment and talk about the elephant not in the room.
Former President Trump has been indicted in 4 different states on 91 counts. He will be processed tomorrow in Georgia at the Fulton County Jail for charges relating to the 2020 election loss.
You all signed a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee. If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
It's perfect. It's perfect. DeSantis gives like the halfway hand, and then I don't know who's the guy next to him. Another halfway up, and then Chris Christie's even a little bit lower than this. He's doing the raise the hand to this left, and then Christie even denies later that he was even raising his hand. So there's your candidates to replace. They're living in the future, right? They are forward thinking, these guys. I guess I don't want to criticize them too much. They're smart guys. They're campaigning. You expect politics with any kind of a campaign. But the reason it's 207 million viewers is because you know where Donald Trump stands on any given issue and really on any given person. Chris Wallace guarded Joe Biden back at that debate. He tried to cover up the fact that he was receiving bribes from the wife of the Moscow mayor. I mean, that's a serious charge. And Wallace comes in and covers it up on national TV. Yeah, he's doing the bidding of the Biden people, the dear leaders people. That's where the real cover up is for Barack Hussein Obama. Ran the shadow government for 4 years while Trump was in office, did everything he could to try to destroy him, and he continues. He continues, even as he runs the country through the fake president. Listen now to this part in the debate where, you know, Chris Christie says, well, I mean, I didn't really raise my hand. This is clip four.
So just to be clear, Governor Christie, you were kind of late to the game there, but you raised your hand?
No, I'm doing this. Look, I'm doing this.
And I know
this.
You didn't.
Whoa. No.
He's doing this. Not this. This. Listen again to Chris Christie from last night, clip five.
Whether or not you believe that the criminal charges are right or wrong, the conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States. And you know, this is the great thing about this country. Booing is allowed, but it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth.
Loudly booed from an audience that Fox News and the RNC invited in. A lot of them probably big Republican donors, and they boo. They boo this guy as he said, well, what about if the indictments, you know, if there's anything to whatever you think about the indictments, the conduct, it's beneath the office of the. Well, what about if he's found not guilty, then what conduct? What conduct are you talking about? Moving boxes, which he legally could do? The fact that he thought they stole the election, which he legally can do? But there he is saying, look, the conduct of Donald Trump, we just cannot tolerate that. We can't tolerate it. And he's loudly booed. And then over with Tucker, there's millions and millions and millions of people, no doubt loudly cheering what the former president had to say. Listen again to more booing following what Chris Christie said. Clip six.
You make me laugh because...
Go ahead, Governor Christie.
Hold on, Governor Christie.
Hold on.
Well, so listen, the more time we spend doing this, the less time they can talk about issues you want to talk about. So let's just get through this section.
Perfect. It's just perfect. You don't need to watch 90 minutes. I've done all the work for you. Those few clips I just gave to you comes in that little 5-minute episode where Donald Trump actually came up. Ramaswamy, he spoke up and defended Trump. And then Christie's response is to put down Ramaswamy, after which the crowd starts to boo again. And then to get the icing on the perfect cake, you've got Bret Baier turning around and lecturing the people in the hall. Let's say, hey, let's not be too hard on Chris Christie. What do you say? Let's finish. Let's pull this back to a pretty serious note here. There's plenty. I thought long and hard about which clip to lead with on today's cold open. And as you recall, I led with Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson talking about civil war. There were plenty of funnier moments with the list of my clips that we could have started with. You heard some of them just right there. But civil war, Steve Bannon on his show, this is from, I believe, just yesterday morning, and he's talking about the state of the nation and just how Donald Trump is connected to America's fate. It's an interesting comment, given, again, given what God says in 2 Kings 14, and I'll give you some from that in just a moment. But first, here's Steve Bannon, clip two.
This is only the third time, as I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, this is only the third time in our history that the destiny and fate of an individual has been tied directly to the fate of the nation. General Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and now Donald Trump. The fate of Trump is tied to the fate of the nation now. His destiny is the nation's destiny. If you think it through.
The fate of Trump is tied to the fate of this nation. Now, I'm not saying in response to that's the way we all need to be thinking, putting our faith, our trust, our confidence in men. The Bible says not to trust in man, God wants us to put our faith and our trust in him. But when you think about what God says in 2 Kings 14 about God intervening to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, that's the language. This is from that Ready for War article earlier this year in the Trumpet magazine. It says, "And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." That's 2 Kings 14 and verse 27. It says, whose goal is it to blot out the name of Israel? That would be Satan, the devil. He hates everything God stands for, including what God wants to accomplish for the world through his chosen nation. Satan wants to destroy America, and sadly, he's doing a terribly effective job, but God's not going to allow it. I'm just reading the quote here from my screen. It says, he will save Israel temporarily. How? By the hand of Jeroboam. Anciently, he did so through King Jeroboam II. Prophetically, that's the role Mr. Trump is going to play. This has not happened yet to the extent that it will. Trump must return to the presidency to fulfill this job. It's interesting, isn't it? Given what Bannon just said there. The fate of Donald Trump, connected to, tied to the nation. It says here, on the other side is a modern-day Jeroboam. Since this is the man God is using to save the nation temporarily, it is this man whom Satan and his Antiochus fight most viciously. And see, Donald Trump sees that. Doesn't maybe see the devil, but he certainly sees the vicious attacks. And he goes on and on about it. You know, do you think we're headed towards civil war? Do you think maybe they could lash out in violence again like they did in the Summer of Love? I mean, they have the track record. The history's there. And Donald Trump says, look, I see, on the one hand, I see passion, I see love, but I also see vicious hatred as well. And that can be a pretty deadly combination. One final quote here. It says, Mr. Trump helped Ron DeSantis become governor in Florida. DeSantis really should express some gratitude, but he's not saying anything. He's a strong governor. Republicans are happy to have him on their side, but God isn't going to save America through anybody except Donald Trump. Tomorrow's news today, that's in the Trumpet magazine from January, earlier this year, January 2023. If you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet magazine is free, just like America Under Attack, just like the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I mentioned the Ezekiel booklet earlier as well. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. If you'd like to email the show, you can also reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We've got a few seconds left. I can just conclude with this local story. This is from Oklahoma City, the City Sentinel. Michael Flynn bonds with Trump conservatives, students, families, and fellow veterans during his visit to Edmonds Armstrong College. This is a weekly publication, as I said earlier in the week. I mean, the press, for the most part, they didn't give much attention to General Flynn's visit to this campus and his address Monday night and the two interviews that he gave to this program earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday. It says here, retired U.S. Army General Michael Flynn served every American president from Jimmy Carter to Donald Trump. He bonded with students, families, fellow veterans, and Trump conservatives during a three-day visit to Armstrong College in Northwest Edmond. That would be this very campus. And that would be all the time that we have for today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.